We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Adam Zadroik over at RotoWire. We got a four-game slate over at DraftKings. I'm going to be talking about it. Aston Villa, Manchester United, Brighton, Crystal Palace, four home favorites. I'm going to be diving into GPPs, cash games, whatnot. Let's find some goals. All right, I think DraftKings is messing around with us. They're just going to see how late they can go and if they'll still get content for their slates or not. Last week, it was 4 p.m. Now we're at 4:21 p.m. to get this show in. So little by little, they're getting a little later here in terms of releasing their slates. Unclear on what's going on over there, but the future does not look bright. But we still got content here. We still got the video. As I always say, man of the people, getting some content out for everyone. I did a 40-minute show last week. Hopefully it's not 40 minutes, but there's one fewer match. So hopefully it'll be a little less than that. As I said, we got four home favorites here. I'll run through lineups, talk a little bit about some cash ideas, and some tournament ideas. There is a King of the Pitch. I was talking to Jack and Ryan before the show, and the King of the Pitch is now 235 entry and 7 entry max in this $25 King of the Pitch qualifier. So DraftKings just like, I don't know, kind of mixing things up, kind of doing a little bit whatever they want and stuff that really probably most of the people don't really appreciate. I guess because the King of the Pitch contest, the $25 ones at least, really fill up quickly in the past. So they decided that, okay, let's make it $235 up the max entry. So we're going to get more people in this. Maybe that's it, or maybe they still have a lot of ways to go. What is this, number 137? I don't know. But all right, run through lineups here. So big news this morning, Hoyland has a muscle injury, so he's out for a couple weeks. And Luke Shaw, we know, might be out for the whole season. So two pretty relevant things for Manchester United. Lindelof here got him at left back, which he has played a few times this season. And Omari Forson, so this is something I found on Twitter a little bit ago. He's been kind of playing in like this front three in the attack instead of Hoyland in training recently. So it could be him. He's a 19-year-old. He's listed at 4K in the midfield. Would obviously be, I don't know how, I mean, maybe people will go there in cash games because if he plays as a forward for Manchester United, one of the biggest favorites on the slate, basically taking Hoyland's spot, 4K midfield probably will be popular. Just kind of a difficult situation to project here. Again, 19 years old, so we're looking at 60, 70 minutes max. I'm probably not going to go there. I don't usually like doing that kind of a thing. The other option would be Antony comes in. He comes in the right side. Garnacho is on the left. Then Rashford is in the central number nine role kind of thing. So that's the main thing to watch out for Manchester United. There's a tweet out there somewhere talking about Forson possibly getting the start. If you don't believe me, a Manchester United reporter tweeted out, if you don't believe me, Fulham, for them, they have Paulinho is suspended for a couple matches. So that obviously is not going to help their midfield out a little, But Harrison Reed probably going to come in for him. Willian has been an issue, so we could see Iwobi is probably going to get the start either way, but Willian, Harry Wilson, they could over Reed will be the options there. Crystal Palace first match, technical first match under Glasner. They went with like a 3-4-3 in the last game, probably going to keep that going because it's kind of what Glasner prefers. Burnley, they do not have Aaron Ramsey, who was injured last weekend, so that probably means Gudmundsson is back in the starting 11 and something we're going to talk about here. Michael Linko, I think he's fine. We could get Seamus Coleman here at right back, though it could again be Ben Godfrey. And then I don't have Ashley Young in this one. Again, we could get Ashley Young, but it's kind of funny that Ashley Young is starting over Jack Harrison. But we'll see what happens, what Sean Dyche wants to do with this. We did get an update this morning about Miedema with a back issue. Back issues are always kind of one of the things that you don't really know how to project. Could be, you know, this maybe Miedema can't even walk kind of thing. Maybe he wakes up Saturday morning and struggles to walk, or maybe he goes 90 in this game because he's just a guy who always goes 90. Or maybe he starts and only goes 45 minutes and has to go off at halftime because his back hurts. So something to keep in mind there. With Miedema in his place, I got Ansu Fati back in the starting 11. He's been off the bench the last couple matches. He played on the left side, I believe, at least once or twice when Miedema missed out earlier in the season. Aston Villa, no changes here. Still the same injuries. Nottingham Forest. Awani is going to be fine here. Otherwise, no changes for them. So that's kind of what we got here. All right, so let's get into forwards and cash games. And Pascal Gross, 10.5K. Last week it was Saka at 11.7K. Not really the same situation, though, because, you know, there's one less match and maybe and definitely fewer players that you actually want to play. Last week it was like there's, I don't know, 10 players that you had a good feeling about playing instead of Saka. Of course, Saka went out, got a brace, had a floor of 3 points, but what are you going to do? I kind of like Gross here. If you can find the room in your lineup, I think you can find the room in your lineup, as we'll get to some of these Burnley and Crystal Palace guys, but I think you can find the room in your lineup. I think one thing that may decide, may make a decision for me, though maybe I shouldn't care about it too much, is if Purvis Estupiñán is in the starting 11. He's been dropped, I believe, the last 2-3 matches. Tariq Lamptey has started over him. And though De Zerbi is a manager who rotates a ton, and you don't really know how they're going to do it, how they're going to line up, I guess I should know when Miedema doesn't start. They have gone to three center backs and more of like a 3-4-2-1. If that's the case, we could see three center backs. I know Adam Webster is basically a center back, but he kind of got forward on the right side in their last game. Granted, it was against Sheffield United. So something to keep an eye on. Let me click Pascal Gross here. So he's going to have all set pieces if Estupiñán is not in. But as we can see, that Tottenham match, Estupiñán will split set pieces with Gross. So your decision will come down to, okay, if Estupiñán's not in, I'm probably going to end up playing Gross because we're getting basically all set pieces. We saw in that last game, what was his floor? I mean, okay, Sheffield United, Mason Holgate went off really early in that game. But still, Gross always has basically a 20-point floor. He had a 25-point floor last game, 19 crosses. The floor is always there, and they're at home against an Everton team that don't possess the ball. They're probably, haven't looked at the numbers recently, but they're probably bottom five in terms of possession. So 10.5K, you're getting, without Estupiñán, you're getting all set pieces. With Estupiñán, maybe it's a split of set pieces. Maybe you start, maybe you don't want to go Gross. So that is your main question. Do you want to play Gross? And then you go down from there. Garnacho is 8,800, slightly expensive, but has had a pretty good floor overall. Still a little expensive for cash games at 8,800. Not going to play McNeil at 8,300. Rashford's at 7,800. Gibbs White, played him last week, 7,500 in this one at Aston Villa. Not a great spot, but he's always in play to just have a really good floor game when you don't expect it. Still kind of expensive here when he was 77 home against West Ham. Now he's 75 at Aston Villa. Probably not going to look there, but he is an option. That's kind of what we're looking at here. Mounié, 6,600. Just specifically cash games here. I think Iwobi's in play in cash games. He's 6K at Manchester United. He went 45 in that last game, but I think he's going to be in play for 90 if someone like Willian is not on the bench. We know Paulinho's out, so that's going to remove another, you know, sub possibility in terms of, I don't know, someone like Harrison Reed coming in from the bench for him. But 6K is a decent price for Iwobi, who kind of does a little bit of everything. But the main talking point, I think, is I don't think any I have to mention anyone else here, but yeah, let me double check Mike Tresor here. I was just checking another Burnley bench option and Mike Tresor, but so I'm getting to your Burnley options. Gudmundsson, 5,400. So Gudmundsson, probably, as I mentioned, probably going to start here. Went 45 minutes off the bench in that last game. What do you have? 9 floor points. He'll be splitting set pieces with Brownhill. And the question with Gudmundsson is, he's always in play for being subbed off at halftime. If Crystal Palace, if this is a game where, okay, new manager bump, Crystal Palace under Glasner, they're dominating the first half, up 2-0 in the first half, and Gudmundsson not really cutting it, we could see Gudmundsson off at 45 is a possibility. I was looking at Mike Tresor because Mike Tresor is going to be an option to come in off the bench for him. They don't have a massive bench, but he is a guy who would come in on the wing and like run around a little bit. He's kind of like a spark plug off the bench kind of a thing. He would be an option to come on for Gudmundsson. If you're kind of worried about Gudmundsson's minutes, or maybe you don't have the money for that 5,400, maybe you just want to play Josh Brown, who I'm going to get to at midfield. We got David Fofana. This is Ryan Bolangi's guy here, 3,900. I think he's a cash play. If you need the money, I think you can play Fofana at 3,900. Of course, you can play him in tournaments. You can play anyone in tournaments. Odo Bear is also there. Probably not the same goal upside because he's not a forward. But so the thing with Fofana is we got his first two starts, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, because they don't have Koliosho. They don't have Foster. All these guys are out. They have no one else to come on for him. He also got the brace off the bench against Fulham. They just don't have a ton of other forwards. And then we're looking at these other matches. Okay, they played against Liverpool. They played against Arsenal. Those are Fofana's two starts. How much can we put into those two games for Fofana? I know this is Burnley we're talking about, but they're playing Crystal Palace here. He's $3,900 forward who's probably going to go 90 minutes. I know they're an underdog here, but this is Crystal Palace. Burnley are, you know, these odds are, I don't know. We'll see what happens. This feels like a new manager bump odds here for Crystal Palace, but we're getting 1.01 implied goal total for Burnley. I don't know. Like Glasner plays, I think Glasner plays. These games are going to have more goals than we saw in the Roy Hodgson games. I think there's going to be a little more up and down action in these Crystal Palace games. Can't say for certain, but that's kind of what those Frankfurt teams look like under Glasner. Either way, no matter what you think about how Glasner is going to play, how Crystal Palace are going to play under him, if you're getting 90 minutes, 3.9K, I think you can go if you want money in other spots, if you don't want to punt in some other spots, I think you can actually go if it's tough to say to go him over Gudmundsson, but Fofana at 3,900, $1,500 cheaper. You kind of know you're getting 90 minutes from him when Gudmundsson's a little trickier because they also have Brun Larsen coming off the bench as well. And we've seen in the past Brun Larsen 45, Gudmundsson 45 kind of thing. So something to keep in mind there. Fofana, intriguing, 3,900. In midfield, we have a mispricing here. Why is Bruno Fernandes 8,700? Home against Fulham, this is one of his cheaper prices of the season. He was 9,800 at Luton Town last week, 9,500 home against West Ham. Why did his price drop? Like, it's not like his floor is dropping at all. We don't have to worry about Luke Shaw taking corners, so that's off the table. We lock Bruno in cash games. I'm not going to say lock him in tournaments because he really hasn't been scoring a ton. And you play him for the 15-point floor, and you know the goal assist upside is just a bonus. But 8,700, we lock him in. He's just too cheap. Then when you consider 1,800 cheaper than Pasco Gross, I don't think there's any questions there really. What else do we have at midfield? I mentioned Forsen. I'll just go down from the top here. I didn't mention Ollie Watkins before, but we'll probably mention him in tournament talk. Midfield only. There's not a ton. Douglas Luiz, 7,400 home against Nottingham Forest. Okay. John McGinn, 6,700. Let me actually click into the profile here. Just check out what happened last week for Aston Villa. Rotowire.com/soccer trial, 48-hour trial to get the cheat sheets and get everything else on the site. So because Boubacar Kamara is not in, John McGinn seemingly played in a more defensive role here. Seemingly was in that. I didn't actually watch this entire match here, but based off these numbers where McGinn did not have a shot or a chance created, granted, he also didn't have a corner, which is interesting. So Douglas Luiz took all those, but seemingly more defensive. So more defensive than you'd have to check the heat maps. I have not checked the heat maps on those guys yet, but maybe Douglas Luiz played a little more forward in that one. But without Kamara in there, maybe McGinn's going to be a little more defensive. So he's kind of off the table for me for now. So he's 6,700, Luis 7,400. Not that intriguing. Andreas Pereira, 6,300. Minutes concern, even without Paulinho suspended. Still got the minutes concern, but 6,300 isn't terrible. It's not the worst thing. Buonanotte, not really a floor play at 6K. James Garner at Brighton, no. Tielemans, 5,600. Harry Wilson, 5,200. Okay. Lerma, now we're getting some good pieces here. Everyone's favorite, Jefferson Lerma, 4,900. Kearney. I always like Kearney at Manchester United. I don't think it's a terrible spot. I think we're going to get 90 from Kearney. His floor from last game isn't that great. But without Paulinho, I think we're getting 90 from Kearney. Harrison Reed also in play for a 90. But he doesn't usually get as forward as Kearney does. But still, these aren't the places that I would go. Jacob Ramsey, I will mention him again, of course. Casemiro went off at halftime last game because he had a yellow card or because Ten Hag doesn't like him. Nicolas Dominguez, not terrible, 4,100. I already mentioned Omari Forsen. If he starts, I guess people maybe we're looking at utility here, or maybe you're looking to play Forsen over Josh Brownhill. Josh Brownhill is the guy I'm going to mention here. Just scrolling through the rest of the list. Don't really see too much. You got your Everton midfielders. You got the usual plays in here, the 4 to 8 point midfield plays kind of a thing. Nothing else really stands out. Danilo, 3K. Danilo is pretty good play, actually. He went 90 last game. He was dropped for a couple matches, came back in the starting 11 against West Ham, had 4 shots, 2 on target. Always seems like he's at the top of the box, ready to rip shots kind of thing. 3K is really cheap, even at Aston Villa. So he's an option. Definitely a tournament option. Maybe won't go there for cash games because I don't think we have to go there. But Josh Brownhill. So 4.3K. Again, I already mentioned this matchup, Crystal Palace matchup. You could play both Brownhill and Gudmundsson. You could play Brownhill and Fofana. You could do any of those things. I didn't mention him, Downey. I guess he's an option as well. But why would you play him, Downey, when he is pretty much the same price as Fofana? He's 3,700. Brownhill, probably going to go 90. If Gudmundsson is out, Brownhill is going to get the final 20 minutes of set pieces. But you're going 43 minutes with a split roll and set pieces. You're looking at maybe an 8.4 kind of thing. So pretty good for 4.3K. So those are your cash game options. Defense, maybe in all lineups. I don't know if we're going to say go that far, but Adam Wharton, let me click into this profile here. The surprising thing is, so we've had 2 slates, and they're both showdowns. I believe they're both Monday showdowns, actually, where Adam Wharton, I captained him. I think I captained him on both these slates. But we got the corners last week. I think we got the confirmation. We got confirmation that Will Hughes is out again. So we have that. We have the confirmation that Wharton took all set pieces last week. Defender, 5.8K on set pieces. playing next to Lerma, playing somewhat forward in that 3-4-2-1, I think you just lock him in. 10-point floors against Chelsea, against Everton. Now he's home against Burnley. I don't know why he's listed as a defender. That was the surprising thing when prices came out. And I guess, you know, when we're playing showdowns, we weren't looking at positions. But, I mean, as we look at his time at Blackburn, he's a defensive midfielder. He was never, you know, a straight-up defender. I don't know. Last season, he was always a midfielder. I don't know why DraftKings lists him as a defender. But either way, I guess that's a bonus for us. So we lock Wharton in, definitely in cash games. Probably going to play him in tournaments as well. He's going to be pretty popular, but when you got a set piece taker, defender, this is like, I don't know who this is like. He doesn't have the upside of a TAA, but it's kind of like Trippier. Maybe you're getting more open play crosses from Trippier, but a set piece taker, sub 6K, listed as a defender. You got the clean sheet upside as well. So we lock him in, and I don't actually think there's another defender that we need to play. There's a lot of okay, solid options that, sure, go ahead. If you have the money, do that. The Estupiñán, I guess, warrants a conversation here at 6,400. The last time he started, he went 90 minutes. Again, as I mentioned, could take steal set pieces from Pascal Gross. It's really risky, though. 6,400, do you need to? And are you able to? I'm probably not going to go there, but obviously a tournament option if Estupiñán starts. Again, De Zerbi mixes things up a lot, so we don't really know. We also have the Alex Moreno, Luca Dina conversation. So I mentioned it last week, but we got 87 minutes against Manchester United, 81 minutes against Fulham. We could see 75 minutes out of Moreno, and Luca Dina comes on for him at 75th minute. So again, always a worry here now that both left backs are healthy for Aston Villa. Anthony Robinson, always there. Diego Dalot, 5,500, always fun in tournaments. Do you want to pay 5,500 for his, I don't know, what is the floor for Diego Dalot? 4 to 8 points? Let's look on the sheet. I mean, he had negative points against Nottingham Forest, so it's not that safe. His floor is 6.57 points. For 5,500, just not needed. Ashley Young, again, I mentioned him earlier. Maybe he starts again over Jack Harrison at Brighton, though. Same with Tariq Lamptey, 5,400, maybe subbed off at 45 last week. If, again, De Zerbi, that situation is hard to project. Maybe we get the 3-4-2-1 and he's out on the wing and you're like, okay, let's play Lamptey. That's fine. Fine. You can play Lamptey at 5,400. There's a lot of fine plays. Tyreek Mitchell, 5,100 at a ridiculous price. I maybe captain him in the showdown, but if we're playing 3-4-2-1, 3-4-3 for Crystal Palace, you're getting Tyreek Mitchell, you're getting Daniel Munoz. Munoz out on the wings, a little more attacking, but this is too expensive, even for me. And then that's kind of it. We're looking at fullbacks. I mean, sorry, we're looking at center backs. We're looking at the Brighton center backs kind of thing. I think Lewis Dunk was a big conversation piece against Sheffield United. He had the assist, but he also had a massive floor and had 155 passes, which is a lot. Is that season high there? Joakim Andersen, 4,200. You know, I just don't think you really have to go to any of these places. Take your pick. Go with Wharton and then take your pick, whoever really fits. I think there's options at all these places. Like even Essignon. For Burnley at 3,700 isn't a terrible play. I mean, we'll look at what he did in some of these games, but okay, Arsenal, Liverpool, his first Premier League game, it was against Fulham, got an assist in that one. Harry Maguire, I'm not sure I'd go there. He was subbed off either because he had a yellow card or because Ten Hag doesn't like him last game. The 3,600. So I actually, as a placeholder kind of thing, just building my first lineup, I went all the way down. Like, I think you can go all the way down to Murillo. Why not just go, this guy has maybe a 3-point floor, but if that gets you something else, if that gets you something else that you like, you can go down there. He's just a guy. There's a video clip going around Twitter all week of Murillo sending a pass from, the defensive third all the way up front. And it was like, oh, look at the Murillo's accuracy. This guy should be getting a call up to the Brazil national team kind of thing. I think, I don't know if he won man of the match, but Nottingham Forest's Twitter account was hyping him up all week. Not saying that's good for DFS purposes, but 2,500, a guy who may have a chance created here and there, may have a cross, may have a shot here and there kind of a thing. If you need the money, I just don't think there's any other must plays outside of Warden at defender, unless I'm missing something. I just don't think there's any other must plays. So I think you can really, your second defender is kind of go whoever fits here and then kind of go off that for goalkeeper. So goalkeeper, I don't actually trust any of these favorites here. I don't trust the Aston Villa backline without Ezri Konsa. We know Carlos is still out. Mings is still out without Kamara. I don't trust that backline. I don't trust Manchester United backline either. Can we trust Brighton? Maybe. Maybe against Everton because they're a team that always just racks up shots on target and doesn't score. So if you had the money, I might actually look. I might actually like Verbruggen or Jason Steele the most. Do I like Crystal Palace's goalkeeper if it's John Stone or Dr. John Stone or if it's Dean Henderson? Not really. Do I want to play Burnley's goalkeeper when I could play Pickford, who usually makes a bunch of saves? My favorite keeper, though, is Bern Leno at Manchester United. They don't have Hoyland. Hoyland has been kind of the guy who's opening things up for Manchester United lately. Hoyland has scored in six straight games. He's not there. They might start Amari Forson, who is 19 years old, who has four Premier League minutes to his name. We all remember how Manchester United looked when Hoyland was not scoring goals, when he wasn't in form. They were okay. They were a mediocre at best team. Now he's out of the lineup. I think we could see a game where Manchester United just rip shots from outside the box because they can't get anything else working. That's going to be Garnacho. That's going to be Rashford. That's going to be Bruno ripping shots from whoever knows. Sure, maybe they'll score one or two, but I think we could get a 5+ save game for Bern Leno. So he's actually my favorite goalkeeper here. Let me read through the comments here. Wharton is such a Glasner player. Hoyland is a blow for them. So there you go. CAI, Charles. Reiterating my thoughts. DK does not care. Wharton was signed before. Okay, people are just talking about Wharton here. A lot of Wharton talk. He might be 100% on this slate, but I think that's it for cash games. I don't think I really have to go any further here. Kind of talked about a little bit. We got a few people listening live, but if you got any questions, let me know. I'm going to try and run through some tournament ideas, try to think of some ideas to win KOTP, but it won't be too long here. So what do we think is going to happen? I think we could get like a 3-2 type game in this Crystal Palace Burnley match. It wouldn't be surprising if it went a little bit off the rails. I know that's kind of going against the odds here. Definitely going against the odds. 2.47 implied goal total. It feels like these Crystal Palace odds are Roy Hodgson odds. These are not Roy Hodgson odds. I know Glasner's only been there for a few days, but they're gonna be playing different. This is just like it's gonna be a different looking team than Roy Hodgson teams. This is a Roy Hodgson implied total. And Burnley games can get off the rails because they can't defend. They still don't have Jordan Byer. And, I mean, as we've seen with Fofana, I guess he's a fine goal scorer, I guess is what I'll say. This game could get off the rails. We could get, whether someone scores in the first half, I think the other team can come back and score goals. I think we can actually get a few goals in this Crystal Palace Burnley game. And I don't think it would be that difficult to find. You know, obviously you're going to have Wharton in builds. I don't know if you're going to want to play the two central midfielders in Lerma and Wharton, but like we got Ayew, Edward, and Mateta up here. Let's look at what happened last game. So Mateta 7,200. He had the assist, two goals, three shots assisted. Okay. Went 90 minutes. Edward 72 minutes, two shots. Okay. Probably like Mateta a little more. Again, this is Glasner's first week. We don't know who Glasner likes more. But Edward was the favorite of Hodgson for the first half of the season. And then Mateta, I think when Edward was hurt, Mateta got the role, and then Edouard didn't really get the role back. So I'd kind of lean, if you want Crystal Palace, you got Wharton, you got Mateta, and if you really think it's going to be three goals, I don't know if you want to go Joakim Andersen, the Joa Constrictor, but maybe throw in another attacker there. Maybe you get the goal assist combo with Mateta and IU, get an assist for Wharton and a few crosses, or Mateta and Edouard, just a two goal scores kind of thing. Something like that. I think that's not going to be very popular because based off the odds, the spreadsheet bros, they're not going to be playing Crystal Palace. They're not going to be playing for a Crystal Palace three goals. So I'll say that right there. I think that is a viable strategy, especially on the slate when we have Manchester United as the biggest favorite with the 2.02 implied goal total without their striker who has scored goals in six straight league matches. Again, I don't have to mention it one more time, but you remove the guy who's scoring goals for him and they're just not as good. You remove Luke Shaw for him and replace him for not a real left back and Lindelof, and maybe there are some problems there. So you start tinkering. We've seen throughout the season, you start tinkering Manchester United's lineup, and they have problems. So, you know, do you want to bet on that? Sure. Maybe play Forson. I think these guys are going to be popular. I think you're going to get – obviously Bruno's going to be popular. Garnacho's going to be plenty popular. Rashford's going to be plenty popular. Home against Fulham, Manchester United are already a popular team, so I think that goes into account there. So you can take that route. I do think, you know, all these games could have goals. The odds kind of imply that. We got over implied total of 3 in 3 of the matches. And again, I already said what I thought about the Crystal Palace Burnley odds. I do think going with maybe finding the goal for Fulham is also in play. Iwobi's kind of cheap. All these guys are kind of cheap. Why not run back Rodrigo Muniz? What is his price? 6,600. Okay, it's getting a little expensive here, but he has, I think it's 3 goals in 2 matches. Brighton, why can't we get another, 5-0 Brighton win? I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're actually kind of leaning a little lower scoring in this game because this is kind of like a classic game of Brighton are going to have 60, 65% possession. Maybe we're going to get a ton of set pieces for Pascal Gross. But Everton are a better defensive team than usually are a better defensive team than Sheffield United, especially if they start Gay and Onana in there. That's a great midfield. I think this is more like a 1-1, 1-0, 2-0 type game. Maybe you disagree with me, but that's kind of what I think on that. So maybe you don't want to play Pascal Gross in your tournament lineups. Just in terms of those guys, Welbeck, let me see how long he's been going. He's not really a guy that goes 90. Evan Ferguson came on for Buonanotte last game, but they're getting a lot of guys back. They have a bunch of guys on their bench. So Julio Enciso is actually going to be available again. So I'm not sure if he's ready for more than 5 minutes, but he's another guy that's going to be subbing on. Adingra has to be in play because it seems like he is the favorite to go 90. But he's 9,100, really expensive, coming off the brace. I think people are going to look at him because he's coming off that brace. He's coming off 9 crosses, coming off 6 shots. But, you know, those numbers are kind of outliers compared to what he did earlier in the season. And not to mention 60 of those minutes against Sheffield United were against the 10-man Sheffield United. So I think we take that floor from a dinger with a grain of salt in that last game. Though obviously his return to the lineup is obviously helpful. Aston Villa, a lot of things we can do here. Ollie Watkins is going to be the guy most likely to score, 9,200. Let's look at the goal odds here. Rashford's 115. Okay, that's fine. I actually think Watkins should be more likely to score, but doesn't matter. Watkins is up here. Edouard is 160 and Mateta is 240. I don't know what these odds are talking about, if we're being honest, but as you can see, Amari Forson's 240. So again, he will get looks in cash games. Of course, he'll get looks in tournaments, but Mateta 240, maybe this is good for our Mateta shares here. So, people are going to be looking at these goal odds and be like, oh, Edouard's more likely to score and he's cheaper than Mateta. So maybe let's just play Mateta because more people are going to be looking at these goal odds and playing Edouard. Again, these are DraftKings odds. So if you go to FanDuel, maybe these odds are actually different. I'm not actually sure who is on PKs. I don't know if anyone knows that. If Wharton is on PKs, or if we can get Edward, if we can get IU or Mateta. Let's see if we've had recent PKs here for Crystal Palace. Yeah, it's been as a, okay, Mateta has taken one this season, but I don't know if Edward is actually who is on the pitch when he took that. So it's going to need some, that's going to be a research on your part, but here are the goal odds again. Fati's up there. Adinger is plus 180. Leon Bailey, 175. Okay. So again, these Aston Villa pieces, I mentioned it last week. Ramsey, I think, what was it? I think it was in the step over. I had a step over lineup, and Ramsey was the only reason. He got 4 points. He was the only reason why I didn't at least finish in like the top three. Again, he's 4,700 home against Nottingham Forest. Last week, he was 4,600 at Fulham. Two shots assisted, had a foul committed. So 4.5 points. Very intriguing tournament play. He's going to be a guy who's going to break your lineup in a good way or in a bad way. A very easy click for tournaments because he is just a guy that has his nose around goal here and there, and they're playing against Nottingham Forest. So you got to think there's going to be goals there. But I also, again, as I said, I think Aston Villa allow a goal. So you can go with some of these guys. You can go with the Hudson-Odois. You can go with Iwani here. Again, you can go a lot of these places. Basically, I mean, I talked up three Burnley guys for cash games. Maybe the one place I'd stretch to look would be Everton attackers. We know Everton's scoring prowess, so I probably wouldn't lick them. Otherwise, I think that's it. Talked a little bit about everything here. So I'm not seeing any more questions, but I think that's all I got in this slate. So you can find me at Roto Zadroik. Also at RotoWire Soccer, rotowire.com/soccer trial to get a 48-hour trial. Get this cheat sheet. Again, we got a few MX games tonight, but we also have, so we got the FPL cheat sheet, but we also have week one of MLS. And let's pull this MLS cheat sheet up if I can find it. Of course, that meant the return of Messi on Wednesday night. And here we go, MLS week one cheat sheet. Shouts to all the MLS fans out there. We got MLS going. Look at this pretty cheat sheet with 14 matches on it. Look at all these colors. Obviously, if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see that. But thank you for watching. Hopefully, we're going to win some money. Find us in the Discord if you have any other questions. I talked about it a lot, so I think I'm just going to have to do some kind of stack that involves a Crystal Palace 3-2 win against Burnley, and maybe no one else is going to do that. So hopefully everyone looks at these odds and no one does that. And then we're going to get a scoreless draw between these teams, and I'm going to be looking like an idiot and finishing last. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's just money. Who really cares? Thank you for watching. I'm at Roto Zadroik. Thank you for following along at Roto Wire Soccer. Please send an email to DraftKings so we don't have to deal with these 4 p.m., 5 p.m. shows. And we're not going to have an article this week because we just can't get to it. But thank you for watching. We'll see everyone next week.